Well, this morning we have a guest joining us here in the studio. Rick Burns is in with us this morning. He represents as the founder of the Karata Project, and we're going to talk about a project that he's working on in conjunction with some other folks who are trying to make some lives better, some folks who are stuck in some bad circumstances through no fault of their own. You know, we've seen that here close to home, too, but some folks are stuck in some pretty dangerous situations, and there are ways to maybe help them out a little bit. Rick, good morning.
Good morning, Jim.
Thanks for coming in. Appreciate it. You've got a project you're working on with some other groups called Soccer Salaam. That's kind of an interesting title. What's that mean?
Yeah, soccer, obviously soccer, but salaam is the Arabic word greeting that you greet people with. And so Soccer Salaam is part of an initiative that we have, that the Karata Project, my nonprofit, is partnering with three other nonprofits, Goals and Dreams, the Iraqi Children Foundation, and an organization called EPIC. We all tend to seem to be fairly small organizations. These nonprofits that we have, mine in particular, and others around the country, there a lot of these are veteran-founded or veteran-inspired, and we all have kind of a passion to make a difference in Iraq and Afghanistan. And this is an initiative that's trying to maximize our efforts by partnering with other organizations and seeing if we can get more out of what we're doing from each of our organizations, kind of as a coalition of organizations that are working to make life better for Iraqis.
I was glancing at the organizations that are helping with this. You've got Rick Burns with the Karata Project. We've got Eric Gustafson with EPIC. We've got Jonathan Webb with Iraqi Children Foundation. And with Goals and Dreams, we have Sean Atkins. None of those sound like Middle Eastern names. These are all people who don't, you know, they weren't born and raised in that area, I assume, who have an interest in making sure people have a chance to live better lives there.
Yeah, and again, we're all veterans. We worked in Iraq, in particular, as far as this project goes, and we all felt a certain degree of passion, a certain degree of desire to give even beyond our military careers when we came back home. And so we've all kind of gone in a different way with intersecting and overlapping missions and so forth to try to make a difference in places like Iraq.
That really should say something to us, I suppose, that so many veterans have come back after what they've seen, realizing that they could do some other things to help those folks.
Yeah, and the real reason is because what we see oftentimes is on a very micro level. It's very easy to see macro events happening around the world and saying that's horrible, that's terrible. But when you've actually worked with people and you have a relationship with people, you're on Facebook with people, you're talking to these folks on a fairly regular basis, you start to get a little bit different feel for these things that are happening, a much more human level, eye-to-eye kind of relationship with people, then you start thinking about things much differently than you do simply reading the newspaper and seeing things happening around the world.
Faceless names are pretty easy to disregard, but when you look into someone's eyes, it changes your whole perspective.
I mean, these are, in my case, these are very, very good friends of mine. They're people that I care very deeply about. These are very courageous and people who are working on the grassroots level to make life better for their communities. And so you don't often see these people because they don't bubble up to the top in large newspaper articles and things like that.
Well, you can tell me if I'm wrong here, but it sounds like this Soccer Salaam program is really aimed more at the youngsters.
Yeah, it is. And again, soccer is a universal sport. It's even become popular here in the United States over the last few years. And so we're aiming. Here's what's happened, and I think most folks have heard or at least been exposed a little bit to what's happening in Iraq right now, and in the sense that we have there's an estimated 2 million displaced Iraqis that have been moved out of their homes, often with just the clothes on their backs, into strange areas of Iraq where they're not familiar, they don't have family necessarily, because of the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant. These guys are very brutal, are very violent, and have no concern really for humanity. And so people have had to move out of their homes to avoid being killed. And these folks have moved into areas like Baghdad. Some of these are Turkmen, for example, who speak no Arabic. or limited Arabic, and now they're in Baghdad, where Arabic is the language. Some are Christians who suffer just simply because of their minority status and the nature of their lives or religion and so forth. These folks have been pushed out. Here several months ago, there was a big media coverage of the Yazidis who were on Mount Sinjar in an attempt by the Iraqis in particular to rescue these folks off the mountain because they were being isolated up there by ISIL. All of these folks have moved into these areas and, like I said, are in very, very desperate situations. And so our efforts are geared on multiple layers. The first level is we're sending some soccer balls over there for the kids. It's always good to have something familiar, something to play with if you're a kid in these very traumatic situations where they've been displaced. There's also a much larger part of this program as well in providing humanitarian support for families. Oftentimes these are young mothers and young children and who have been placed out. Now, it doesn't get to be an Iowa winter necessarily in Baghdad, but it gets very, very cold, and it doesn't take much to put people in very, very frigid conditions. Many of these are living in old, schools and abandoned buildings and things like this. So very Spartan conditions with no real understanding of what the future holds for them. So a little bit of humanitarian support goes a long way with these folks.
Do you find it as hard for folks here to understand really what's going on? I mean, you don't see folks in Southwest Iowa being ordered to move just because some local governing body decided they had to, and then you'd have to shove them a long way to move them to an uncomfortable spot where folks speak a different language and what have you, so they don't understand anything, and they feel like their lives are constantly in danger and being uprooted. I mean, how do you even relate that to folks here?
Well, and it's even, if you live in a fairly tribal where the extended family is a very important part of your support and your support network, it becomes a very, very isolated situation for these families who have been moved out into these different areas. Yeah, I think it's hard for us to understand that. I don't think we truly understand how truly blessed we are in this country. And I don't think we ever could, because we don't experience the other there. I think it's, I think we have, we should, particularly this Christmas time of the year, I suppose, we start thinking a little bit more about others and the blessings that we have in our lives. And I think this is a great opportunity to consider maybe those who are in much, much more dire situations than we are.
It's been interesting. I know you've brought some guests with you at different times, folks who are involved in different aspects, maybe government or what have you, over in Iraq and Afghanistan, have come back here to visit a little bit with us and share some of their stories. And it's great to have that opportunity for them to make some friendships here and some connections, but for us to hear some of the stories. But again, to us, they're just stories. Until you get a chance to experience it, it's really difficult to understand. But we can help.
Yeah, I think so. And I think we can, at a certain level, understand that there are great needs and there are people in very, very difficult situations. And this is one in particular. There was already a dislocated population in Iraq even before this. And so this estimated 2 million new displaced Iraqis has added a great deal of stress, particularly as we move into winter and temperatures get colder. It becomes much more dire and much more significant that they receive some sort of help from somewhere.
So what are you looking for? What can folks do?
Well, we're this particular campaign, we're looking to raise about $50,000 to provide soccer balls, but also humanitarian support, sleeping bags, blankets, those kinds of things that are become very, very critical when you're in a cold place with in a Spartan kind of a situation. We have the unique opportunity. The Iraqi government buys Boeing jets, for example, and we're in a process of those jets normally just simply go, are delivered by a pilot and empty. And there's another foundation that we're working with called Another Joy Foundation, which works with Boeing and other opportunities to ship things in those empty planes. And so we're looking to, over the next few months, in January, we're looking to load a plane up with several tons of humanitarian supplies. We invite people, if they're interested in providing some coats and mittens and hats and things like that that would keep people warm, blankets. We would certainly welcome those kinds of contributions that we will actually put on the plane and ship over there when those planes are delivered. We also welcome always money's a good thing. We will use that money towards humanitarian supplies. These are all things that will go towards these displaced Iraqis directly.
We have so much that it's easy for us not to necessarily appreciate all the things that we're blessed with. I suppose in some of those cases, some of those folks have so little, they appreciate everything.
Absolutely. I mean, when you don't have anything, it certainly anything becomes a, you know, a blanket becomes a critical thing when you're cold. Baby's milk becomes a critical supply, a critical thing when you've got a baby that is hungry. All of these things are, the very, very basics of life become much more significant when you have nothing.
They don't just run down to the store.
Exactly. And again, like I said, these are people that have been removed from extended family in many cases. They're traumatized by their lives being threatened in a very real way. It's not just a concept or some sort of fear. It's a reality for these people where people are coming into their communities and literally saying, we're going to kill you if you don't, ascribe to something that, we think is, right. So these are all great opportunities for us, I think, to support some folks that really can make a difference in a very significant way.
Items or money or both can be donated. How would folks go about making those donations?
If they want to just get in touch with me, we'll figure out how to make that happen. Again, my name is Rick Burns. My cell phone number is 712-249-7435. You can also look out. We have a coalition partner, soccersalam.org website that you can go to. You can contribute directly online to that website that will go to the coalition of nonprofits that are in this partnership. You can also do a search on Soccer Salam on our Facebook page and see some pictures and things of things that we're working on and things that we're moving towards getting completed.
And you'll have the benefit of knowing here during this Christmas holiday season of giving anyway, that you're giving to folks who might not otherwise have anything to get. Think of the eyes of the children you're going to brighten up there.
Yeah. This is, and again, for me, it's become a very personal thing because of my experiences in Iraq working with these people. I had the very enviable position of being able to work directly on trying to solve some civilian problems while I was there, liaisoning with the local government and things like that. And so I developed some very personal relationships to me. And so this is much more than just simply a nonprofit. It's something that it's really a labor of love, and it's something that I find great satisfaction in the little bit that I can do, but also feel a great deal of pressure and urgency to make sure that we do more to help more and more of the folks that are really suffering there.
Yeah, a lot of reward there.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, Rick, thanks so much for coming in. I appreciate you visiting with us here this morning. And again, if folks want to help out, you can get a hold of Rick, 712-249-7435. Call the station here. We can share that information with you. Or go online to Soccer Salam. That's soccersalam.org, and you can find more information there as well. Appreciate it. Have a good Christmas.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate your time.